Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. You know, a very important midterm election is coming up, and I'm going to talk to an expert in politics, a consultant, an author, someone who's actually worked on Capitol Hill. Her name is Terry Hasdorf, and I'm honored to be the publisher of her new book, which I just finished reading a few days ago. It's excellent. And so we're going to talk about what's happening in our country, how you can make a difference when you go out to vote. So stay tuned for our conversation.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
Welcome back, everyone. And Terry, thank you for fitting me in on a very, very busy schedule. But with the election, the midterm elections coming up in just a few weeks, I'm trying to do my part to get people to vote. I'm always amazed to find out that there are some Christians who don't even register. And then of the ones who do register, a lot will just sit out an election thinking that their one vote makes no difference. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right, Stephen. It's a critical time. You know, there's 15 million Americans who are Christians that are not registered to vote. And when you think about those numbers, about 63 to 67% of Americans identify as Christian. So that is a major voting population. And yet if 15 million of us aren't registered to vote, that's just not good. So we've got to get out there and get involved. This is a critical time in our country.
It absolutely is. And I have a hard time understanding that because I registered to vote the very first day I was eligible, and I have voted in every election since then, except one minor runoff election that I forgot about, and I ruined my perfect voting record. I just think it's so important, and you know, there are an awful lot of elections that are decided by a relatively small number. I mean, we can all remember the 2000 election here in Florida between Al Gore and George W. Bush. That was decided by just barely over 500 votes. Even our wonderful governor, Ron DeSantis, won by a very, very slim margin. So we never know when our vote is going to count. But what can we say to people to motivate them to go out? And not only that, but to encourage their friends. You know, everybody's got a sphere of influence. Some people have trouble getting to the polls. My late mother, who died just a few months ago, I used to always take her to the poll because she couldn't drive, of course. And I've done that a couple of other times. What can people do to try to make a difference in this midterm?
Well, that's a great question, Stephen. You know, one of the things that I know firsthand from being a candidate is that that last 72-hour push is so critical. And so if there's any way that you can, you know, first of all, do your homework on the candidates, make sure that you've really figured out who are the right ones to get behind, and then do whatever you can to either go door to door to help encourage others to vote and get registered to vote if they're not, make phone calls, go down and attend meetings, town halls, things like that. They're happening. There'll be lots of campaign events over the next month. All those things make a difference to a candidate. Calling into radio shows and talking about why you're supporting that candidate because of the reasons that you've researched out, that can help others know and be more informed. And most importantly, praying for that candidate. But you have to do more than just pray. You have to get out and vote.
Absolutely. And also to try to use your influence to encourage people. You know, a lot of candidates are less than perfect. In fact, most candidates are less than perfect. And people say, you know, I don't want to choose between the lesser of two evils. But when it comes down to two people on the ballot, one of them is going to be elected, period. And very many critical votes come up in Congress, or you have governors who, of course, veto important legislation or whatever. And who we put into office is going to be in control for the next 2 years. And in Congress, it's particularly important because right now the Democrats have, you know, a monopoly on all three branches of government, basically, except I guess maybe the Supreme Court. And, you know, the Democratic Party, I was a Democrat for over 20 years. Most people would be surprised when they hear that. But it was a very different era. We used to have conservative Democrats down here in Florida. They're all gone. That's Democratic right. Party has basically gotten rid of anyone who doesn't toe the party line. And it goes beyond that because the Democratic Party has been going left further and further and further until now we have candidates espousing things that would have been unthinkable. John Kennedy would not recognize the Democratic Party anymore. And while the Republicans, there's a lot to criticize. I am not a fan of the Republican Party, and so many of them are Republicans in name only. But at least that is the lesser of two evils. And I believe that we've got to take back Congress. We've got to get more Republican governors in. I mean, Ron DeSantis beat a very, very left-wing Democrat. And, you know, those of us who live here in Florida, we ask ourselves once in a while, I've been in several conversations where we say, what in the world would we have done during COVID if this other guy whose name was Gillum had actually won? And I'm sure that you can tell stories too. In fact, you have a lot of stories in this book, Running Into the Fire. And I am on a personal mission to try to get people to read your book because it's well written, it's well thought out. It's very, very practical. You tell a lot of interesting kind of behind the scenes kinds of stories that you don't basically read in the mainstream media.
Well, I'm so honored, Stephen, that you published the book, and I'm so grateful for your support with it. You know, I wrote that book and named it Running Into the Fire because I had talked to a friend of mine who also ran for Congress about the same time that I did. And I asked him, why do you believe Christians shy away from being involved in politics? And he said, because they're afraid of it. They think of it as being dirty and corrupt. And I said, that's what I hear over and over. He said, but what they really need to be doing is thinking of it more like people who are in law enforcement or people who are firefighters, because they're trained to overcome their fears. And instead of running away from the burning building, they run right into it. And I thought, you know, that's exactly it. As Christians, we're called to walk in faith, not fear. And we've given into fear and we've abdicated the role that I believe God has for us in government. And when you abdicate that role, there's a void there. And there's somebody that's going to fill it. And many times that may not be the kind of person that you want filling it. So it really is so critical to get involved in these elections, to vote, and to make sure that you really do your homework and get behind the right candidates.
Well, in the 2016 election, when nobody expected Donald Trump to win, I believe, and I documented this actually in the book, God and Donald Trump, that it was the evangelical vote where conservative Christians, many of whom were just horrified at the idea of Hillary Clinton winning, some of whom who held their nose and voted for Donald Trump, even though they didn't like some of his tweets and they didn't like the fact he was married three times and that he made his money, a lot of his money on gambling, you know, things that are not exactly part of the Christian lifestyle. But compared to Hillary Clinton, there was a clear-cut difference. And you know, what would those 4 years have been like if Hillary Clinton had gotten in? My personal opinion is that Joe Biden's not a lot better. You know, he's just kind of caved to the far left, where a lot of Democrats are actually concerned about the policies. And of course, the policies that are important to Christians, such as religious freedom, abortion, the definition of marriage and all those issues. You know, there are a lot of secular people that are not passionate about that. They may kind of agree with us or think that it's better than the alternative, but now there's so many economic issues. I mean, I was out west in the last week and I couldn't believe the gas prices were like $6 a gallon. Here in Florida, they're somewhere between $3 and $4 a gallon, depending on where you buy it. But, you know, that takes a chunk out of every, you know, it's almost like inflation is so bad that someone said that your earning power is 1/12 less, which is like losing your salary for an entire month in terms of what you can buy. And a lot of people vote their pocketbooks. And I guess the only reason I'm saying that is there's a lot of reasons to get out and vote. We've got to get a handle on the national debt. We've got to get a handle on some of these extreme policies that are causing the inflation. What do you think?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the thing that has troubled me so much is that our country is right on the brink of socialism. And socialism at its core is about replacing God with government and freedom with tyranny. And having seen firsthand what communism and socialism does to people, I can tell you we don't ever want that here in this country. I think there's so much confusion around that. A lot of our young people have confused socialism with social justice, and they are two very different things. So that's another major reason, because socialism will attack a lot of our freedoms, including our religious freedom, like you said a minute ago. And that's very important to protect. That is our number one main thing that we need to protect. So that's, again, why this election and all the ones that are coming up in the near future are so critical.
And for those who are Christian, we ought to go out and vote for that issue, if nothing else.
That's right.
And, you know, I mean, there's stories just this week on charismanews.com. We ran a story about a pastor who was arrested because he said some things in his sermon that I guess the woke crowd didn't like, having to do with a January 6th and election fraud and some of those things. You'd think that a pastor has the right to say whatever he wants. In fact, in terms of articles, letters to the editor, posts on social media, people are being canceled again and again for even talking about those things. And you don't have to have a very long memory to remember that in 2017, it was the Democrats who were yelling election fraud. They were saying that the Russians had messed with our elections in some ways. They impeached the president. They had a two-year investigation, which turned up nothing. But now, if you even mention the fact that there might be election fraud, it's like you're canceled. And election fraud is not new. I mean, we've had corrupt governors. If you remember Tammany Hall, even Lyndon Baines Johnson. I mean, there's lots of examples. The 1960 election between Nixon and Kennedy, they believed that it was swung because of corrupt politics in Cook County, Illinois. So this is not necessarily new, but I watched 2,000 Mules. And, you know, even if you say maybe it was a little tiny bit exaggerated, it is very, very disturbing in what happened in the last election. And while my example is pretty small, I took my mother, my aged mother, who had some level of dementia, to the poll to vote. And we got there and they said she can't vote. She's already voted by absentee.
Oh, wow.
Well, she lived in a assisted living center. And I know that they sent ballots to everyone in that center. Somebody went through and took them. They didn't expect those people to go vote because they basically can't drive. They didn't expect someone like me to show up with my mother, but there was nothing I could do. I mean, I couldn't prove anything.
Wow.
Mother said she hadn't voted, but she also had some level of dementia, but she also was not sharp enough to vote, find an envelope, put a stamp on it, and mail it. She just wasn't.
Well, and that's all the more reason why it's so critical to vote the day of the election in person, if at all possible. And it's so critical to not be deterred by the concern about election fraud, because I've heard over and over, oh, what's the point of going to vote if there's election integrity issues? Is my vote even going to count? And the answer is yes. Yes, it will. You need to get out and vote. You've got to vote the day of the election, if at all possible.
Because election fraud really comes into play only in close elections.
That's right.
If it is really one-sided, first of all, the other side doesn't know how lopsided it's going to be, and there's a limit to what they can do. You know, one of the things that I was talking to somebody about this week was in Virginia, that they only 30% of the polls had poll watchers in the 2020 election. When they had this recent election where the Republicans basically took over everything, they had 70% poll watchers, and they basically couldn't get away with the fraud. And this person was encouraging me to use my platform to get people to be, you know, poll supervisors. When I went to vote in the last primary here in Florida, one of my personal friends was the poll watcher. I had no way of knowing that until I showed up to vote. In fact, we chatted for just a couple of minutes. And so what would you say about that? Is there even time between now and the midterm elections for people to call their supervisor of election or whoever's in charge in some states, the Secretary of State, and what is involved with being a poll watcher?
That's absolutely critical. And, you know, it varies from county to county. It depends on what the individual rules are. But, you know, it's not too late in some places, and you can call and get the information. And I would encourage people to do that as soon as possible. Poll workers and poll watchers are both very, very desperately needed. And I know that's something that a lot of people may be like, oh, gosh, can I take a day off from work and do that? But You know, if we had more of that, there would be far less election integrity issues. So if you're concerned about it, get in and do something about it.
Well said. And as we wrap up the short podcast, I want you to talk about your book. You mentioned it, and I want to do other podcasts with you about it. I'd like to just dissect it and do different podcasts on different aspects of what you wrote about. But why don't you just summarize it and maybe also explain why you wrote the book and what you're hoping that it accomplishes?
Sure. So the book is a call to action for Christians to be more engaged politically. It really is three things. It's a call to action. It's an equipping tool where I give you the information that you need to know how to make a difference, how to be effective. I've based this off my 20 plus years of experience in politics, running for Congress, working on campaigns, running a super PAC. And then I've also interviewed a lot of friends and people that I've known over years of working in this to have the best information I can possibly give you about where the levers are and how you can personally make a difference. And then last but not least, it's a reference guide. I've given you information in the back of the book on where you can plug in for additional information and trainings and where to find other people that are like-minded so you don't feel like you're in it alone. And it's, as you said, I tried to make it very practical so that people can know these are things that I can implement immediately to start to get involved.
It is very practical. And I was reading it on a Kindle. And Kindle shows you what percentage through you are, and it showed about 75 or 76%, and all of a sudden the book was over. And I realized that the rest of it was your appendices, the notes, very, very well researched. So, you know, basically a third of the book is all this material that people can use as a resource. And I encourage people to get the book. It's best to get it online. The book publishing and selling has changed so much that it's hard to get a book with a first-time author into a store. But the good thing is that it's available everywhere online. Most people have an Amazon account. You can get it on Kindle. You can get and so forth. You can also get it from our own company, Charisma Media. It's called charismashop.com, and it's very easy to find and to buy, and it's well worth the effort. You'll enjoy it, and it'll make you a more knowledgeable Christian in terms of interacting with our government. We still have a constitution. We still have rights, but they seem to be disappearing before our eyes. And we need to send a message to Washington with a huge red wave. The media is trying to tell us there won't be a red wave. And, you know, sometimes these become self-fulfilling prophecies, or at least they're hoping so. And we need to show that it's not true. We need to have a repeat of what happened in 2016. And of course, that will set the stage for the next important presidential election in 2024. So thank you for being on my podcast. We'll close by me giving you the last word.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I just really am grateful for this time today. And I just really want to encourage people to just pray and think about what you can do to personally get involved. It's overwhelming if you try to do too much at once. But, you know, in my research for this book, I realized that there's just a little over 3,000 counties in America. And if you just make a difference in your county, that can be an enormous thing. You know, if we don't like what we see happening around us, it's our job to change it. And we can change it. That's what's so great about America. We have the ability to get involved and make a difference. So please don't let that go by without this election go by without a voting and getting involved in every way that you possibly can. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And, you know, Robert Shuler said, by the yard, it's hard, but by the inch, it's a cinch. And if we just do small things and get involved, we can make a difference. Thank you to my listeners for listening to the Strang Report podcast. Thank you for the viewers. We're now on YouTube and on our own website. And tune in again for another episode of the Strang Report podcast. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com. Our Charisma Podcast Network listeners receive a 10% discount when you subscribe. Go to mycharismashop.com and use the promo code CPN.